start now.
All right, go.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. We're going to be closing out the day here with GE. By the way, my name is Daniel Holland. I'm an analyst with our industrials team covering diversified industrials. You know, wide moat farms are pretty hard to come by in the diversified industrial space, with only really three of those companies right now, of which GE, in its collection of wide moat franchises, really stands out among its peers. I'm pleased to present Lorenzo Simonelli, CEO of GE Transportation today. One of the joys and struggles of covering a diverse firm like GE is that every single piece of the portfolio commands attention, and on its own or on their own, you know, could quite easily be their own Fortune 500 company. You know, while not as prominent to outsiders as the energy or healthcare or aviation businesses, GE Transportation has, you know, on a percentage basis, the highest growth rate in the company right now, both on a revenue and operating profit basis. And with a dominant market share in the locomotive engine market and an impressive lineup of new technologies, GE Transportation's wide moat seems to be about as sturdy as ever. So with that, please join me in welcoming Lorenzo to the stage, and we'll hold a question and answer session shortly after his presentation. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Good afternoon, everybody. So I've got the tough part of actually being here before everybody can go home. So we're going to try and keep it lively and entertaining, because what we have is actually a great story to share with you on a business that is, as we call it within GE, the baby of the family, but making very big equipment. And we are the smallest of the six businesses, but we've been around for a long time. We are actually part of the foundation of GE from over 100 years ago. What I wanted to do was give you a brief insight into what is the business, give you an overview of the business, and then really go into the industry dynamics. You know, what's happening out there? Why do we feel good about what we're seeing, and also the long-term projection for this business? What our strategy is? What's delivering that double-digit growth, both on revenues and operating profit? And then finally, a quick view of the financials and also the future projection, as well as Q&A. And we'll hold off questions until the end. But let's start off with a business overview.
You need to turn the microphone on.
Yep. Thank you. Always good to have Joanna here. So let's kick off with the business overview first of all. And for those of you that don't know GE Transportation, a lot of you may have seen our product. When you look at what happens in Chicago, Chicago is probably the rail hub of America. And the interchange here is at a crossroad for U.S. freight. And that's what we provide. We provide the iconic product of the locomotive that hauls more freight than any other locomotive. And there's actually 17,000 of them globally around. And what you have there is a picture is actually the fastest selling locomotive in history, which is the Evolution. Our business was established 100 years ago, headquartered in Erie, PA. For those of you from Chicago, we have more snow than you, but it's very similar weather. And we operate in over 40 countries and have over 10,500 employees. And last year, we saw revenues of $3.4 billion. When you look at some of the financials at the end, you'll see that this year is really the rebound year for this business, and we're seeing good growth rates that will continue, both on margin and also revenue. But we're not just a locomotive business, and I think that's one thing I do want to share with you today. We really are more of a transportation business on land and also on sea. We like to move big, heavy things. We like big, heavy equipment. And in fact, when you look at our business, it's really set up of some key segments. Locomotives and services, as I mentioned, this is the freight rail. We have both freight and also passenger locomotives, predominantly freight. And then we service over 9,000 locomotives globally, a big part of our business and growing nicely. We have a signaling business. This is really the optimization of a network. So it be a passenger network or it be a freight network, we provide solutions and products that help to assist productivity within the operations. Positive train control here in the United States is an aspect of the products and equipment that we provide. And I'll share with you also a new product that we introduced with Norfolk Southern Movement Planner later on, which provides huge productivity. Finally, mining, marine, drill. This is really a propulsion segment of our business. We take key components of the locomotive and we put them into key industries. We are the single largest provider globally of the drive systems within mining trucks. So you think of those big off-highway vehicles in the mines, we're actually the propulsion system that's enabling Komatsu, enabling Bucyrus, enabling a lot of those trucks around Australia, Brazil, etc., to get around. The marine business, we're the single largest manufacturer of medium-speed diesel engines. Very important segment of the market, and we produce more engines than anybody else in that segment. We put them into tugboats, we put them into sound ferries, and then we have some drill applications that come from some of the gearing we have on the locomotive as well, into the oil and gas industry. Let's talk about the industry. A lot of discussion as to what's happening. Is this a double dip? Is it not a double dip? I'll speak about it from a freight perspective, what we're seeing. We feel good about where freight is headed. When we speak to our customers, when we look at what's happening around the globe, there are certain macro trends that are going to continue, which says that there is steady growth. When you look at the North America carloads, they've steadily improved over the course of this year, which means more locomotives are required. When you look at the number of locomotives that are stored at the moment and parked, it's down over 60% from the historic highs of 2009. So you look at it and you feel good about what's happening with the steady growth. When you think about international trade, you think about the emerging markets, there is more movement that's going to take place. And I think you'll all agree, rail is the best way to move goods. And across the globe, that's the case. And so it drives a need for locomotives. It drives a need for the newest equipment, which has lower operating costs. So we feel good about what we're seeing there. In fact, we feel good that we've invested in new facilities and new plants that we'll get into. One slow area, Europe, it is sluggish. Again, we don't expect to see dramatic changes there, but it's also an area which doesn't move a lot of freight by rail. So it's more of a passenger market and doesn't really impact us that much. And you can see internationally some great prospects. If you look at the mining industry, we're in what we believe to be a mining supercycle. If you look historically, there are certain times in history where this occurs, and it's going to occur again. The factors and the indicators are leading that way, and we feel that we're in a great position to help the mining industry with new technologies, new products, because one thing that's true is the commodities are getting harder to come by and they're getting harder to reach. So the technology you need is increasing, and that's what we provide, technology. You can see the increasing depth going underground as well as the grade becoming tougher. But that's what we're good at, finding solutions for these things. As you look at our strategy, it's really threefold when you think about what GE Transportation is doing. Firstly, we're strengthening our core. We've got a great brand, we've got a great franchise. We need to continue the focus on the quality of the product, continue the focus of emissions and regulations that are taking place, and be at the forefront of delivering what our customers need. So we're focused on continuing to strengthen what we have today. But secondly, continuing to globalize and localize. We are present in many locations, from Kazakhstan to Australia to South Africa to Brazil, and we're localizing as well. We've got partnerships, we assemble there. China, we assemble there. So we're really expanding our breadth and adding capability into some of the emerging markets, which is where the growth is. And it's a win-win for everybody involved. We've got core components that come from the United States and go to some of the emerging markets to be assembled, and it's a win-win for them as well. Growing our adjacencies. You saw the businesses that we're part of. We're continuing to invest in those businesses to grow them. When you think about mining, you'll see we're moving from just the drive system to increasing our componentry around the truck to be able to give more value as there's a requirement to go underground. Having a battery business that allows us to hybridize our key products from a hybrid truck to a hybrid locomotive. So continuing to expand and really enter into new segments thanks to the components and the investments we've made. Just to give you a sense, we invest about 6% of our sales into R&D. And we've been doing that throughout the downturn because we want to make sure we've got the products and services that our customers need. And this is part of the success story. When you think about what we've done and what we're doing, this is the way in which we're moving from being a domestic player with one brand, one product, to a differentiated number of products that are global, and there's a lot of effort that goes into creating a global product family. But you can see here, 13 new launches in 5 years. That's unprecedented in the locomotive industry. When you look at the Evolution locomotive, again, over 4,000 sold since 2005. That's a record in the industry. When you look at the investment that we're making in Texas, this is a new facility in Texas that's going to be producing locomotives come next year. Again, a statement of the belief we have in the industry. And you can see where we've launched new platforms, it be in China, Kazakhstan, it be in the Power Haul family with Australia and other locations. We feel we've got the breadth of the products that are needed by our customers. And when you look at these products, think about the fuel efficiency versus their existing products. On average, one of these will give them 10 to 15% more fuel efficiency. Fuel is the biggest cost driver a rail operator has, and these are the products that enable them to get a better life cycle cost and a better operating cost profile. We're not stopping just at producing new locomotives. We're also looking at new ways in which new fuels can be adapted. This is a particular example of what we're doing in Brazil. Many of you know in Brazil there's a lot of biofuel. Our engine can run on biofuel. Our engines are working towards LNG capabilities. So we have dual fuel capabilities that are coming onto the market soon. And this is again a way to expand our reach, expand our offering to where it's necessary. And these are some particular examples in Brazil. But they're applicable to other locations. And we've got number of partnerships with key customers that we work on. We don't have many customers around the world, but we have big customers, and we invest together on new technologies, and this is an example of what we're doing in Brazil. The emissions challenge. I'm not sure how many experts we have here around EPA regulation or requirements, but within the United States as well as in Europe, emissions is a big factor. As you look at 2012, there'll be new legislation that comes into effect in the United States, Tier 3, and in 2015, Tier 4. Within Europe, UIC 3B comes into effect. What this means is a huge investment in engine capability to reach those new requirements. And this is what we're doing. We're actually investing heavily into providing not only a new engine, but also a fuel-efficient engine, with better reliability, better productivity for our end customer. So utilizing these regulations to actually improve the offering we have to our customers. And you can see how we're doing it. You know, we've invested hundreds of millions into our engine over the course of time. And this is some of the key technology breakthroughs that enable us to do this. And this isn't like a urea-based catalytic converter. This is a diesel catalytic converter, which means it's friendly also from a standpoint to our customers that they don't need to set up any urea refueling stations. This is more on the signaling side of the house, and I wanted to share with you some of the products that we've been investing in, again, to optimize and drive productivity for our customers. Project Delta is actually a new way in which to drive mass transit, metro, and also passenger rail. It is a similar to ERTMS, but it's actually a step further. It integrates into the total platform of passenger rail, making it hugely more productive, and we think it's a great way in which to enter the market with some new features of energy efficiency, cybersecurity, and something that our customers are asking us for. On the other side, you can see Movement Planner. Just to give you a context, every mile that a Class 1 railroad is able to accelerate in velocity drives 200 million to the bottom line. What this product is, it has a network optimization calculator. It is a rhythmic sense of algorithms that work with the operational center and drive all the meet plan points of the railroad, drive the best routes of the railroad. And this is in place with Norfolk Southern and it's been very successful and a key product that we're taking to other areas of the world as well as we look at infrastructure that needs to be optimized. It's hard to lay new rail. This is a product that allows you to get more capacity on existing rail, and it's a key aspect of the future. Mining. This is a mining truck.
and this is what we provide on that mining truck. You can see from the motorized wheels, the alternator, the AC control, the dynamic brake. So what you may not know is we're a large component of mining, and we see mining as being a great sector for us. It's very close to our traditional route of being in the transport business, and this gives higher productivity, fewer components, lower maintenance, and lower operating costs. So mining for us is an important industry segment that we're playing in, and we plan to go even deeper into it. We have the components that go into some of the key end products. So when you look at vehicles that go on the ground, when you look at some of the key aspects of the energy storage, we can provide componentry that makes the mine more efficient, safer, ecological. That's what we're doing here. And you can see some of our key customers as well as some of our truck partners. But we announced the $230 million investment, a new facility in Texas, and we see this as being a key platform for growth going forward, and we feel good about where the mining industry is going. So 5,000 systems operating worldwide, that is the industry leader. Just on the energy storage to hybrid. When you think about the energy storage, we made an investment in 2009, over $150 million into a new facility for sodium batteries. At the time, a lot of people said, why? Well, we believe that there's a future towards battery being utilized in our products to drive more fuel efficiency, lower operating costs, and to really create a hybrid platform. And that's what we're headed towards. A hybrid platform for the locomotive, the truck, and really an electrification aspect. This battery is a low density and low discharge and lasts for 20 years. So if you think about it, this is a great battery for heavy duty applications. And that's what it's going to be used for. Initially, it's going into telecom towers. Some of you may know telecom towers are in some of the most remote areas of the world. Some of them sit in the Amazon or they sit in the desert, and going out to see them and check on them is inadvisable. So this battery allows you to have a continuous flow if a generator goes out or if the grid goes out. And so it enables less requirement for service and UPS as well. We've got pilots that are ongoing. We've sold the product already and it goes into full commercialization beginning of next year. So, what does all of this bring? It brings you to the financials, and I think when you look at the financials, it's a great story. It's a great story of what's happening from an infrastructure perspective and the way we're positioned from an infrastructure perspective. You look at 2011, rebounding off of 2010, you can see third quarter year to date, revenue up 46%, op profit up 120%. We're not going to see a double dip. We're going to be seeing steady growth in the rail industry. We see carloads continuing to go up at a steady pace. It may not be as fast as everybody wants, but from an industry perspective, it's headed in the right direction. Mining continues to be strong, and we see that successful for the next few years. The macro trends around urbanization, the macro trends around international freight remain positive. And as you look at what's happening in the world, you know, those are going to take place. And so we've been investing heavily into the business. We've got the right products now. And we feel very confident as you look into 2012 out to 2014, a very attractive financial outlook with increases in sales, profitability, margin rates. And it's thanks to the investments that we've been doing and will continue to do. But with that, I think, you know, transportation's got a great outlook. And what I'd like to conclude on is, why do I feel so good about this? If you look at the markets rebounding, the emerging markets, they're there. And you can all read the papers. I think you see what's happening on the macro side. We're in that sweet spot of being an infrastructure business. The mining supercycle, not only seen by us, it's seen by others. But we're there, and we've got some very close relationships with customers that enable us to penetrate it further. Emissions, regulations in this case, drive a need for new adoption of locomotives, new type of technologies that help to provide more efficiency. And then we continue to invest in technology. This is a story about technology winning through. and actually the success of the investments we've made. So we feel very good about what we've done, feel very good about the future. And with that, I'll pass it over to any questions.
I guess I'll lead it off.
Sure.
Just thinking about emerging markets and your decision to enter certain markets, I was really curious about whether or not you discriminate, you know, between where you'd like to go versus where you won't go. For example, I know that China is a market where you don't necessarily have the same a very strong share relative to the rest of GE. Is there a decent reason for that, or just elaborate a little bit?
Sure. You know, the question around the attractive markets and where we go, I mean, the first thing we look at is obviously the market size and the opportunity to take a market share and the relationships we have within the country. And that's why we've entered into certain countries and others we haven't necessarily yet. With China, we have a very strong relationship with the MOR. We've had a presence there for several years. We have a natural flow of 200 locomotives per year, but it is localized. So we're already there and we're, you know, penetrated to the extent that is necessary for the freight system. As you look at new areas, you know, some of the considerations are, you know, where rails are, where mining takes place, aren't the most attractive areas. And there's certain risks that we need to take into consideration. So there's obviously a balance of risk-reward of whether you go into the middle of the jungle and put your locomotive there or not. And that's on a case-by-case. But we're very strongly invested in the emerging markets. We go through partnerships as well, and we think it's necessary to be there.
Okay. Like during a recession, I guess, you know, autos get pent-up demand as people put off spending on them. Are there any areas of your business that has had pent-up demand that either that you expect to be released soon and maybe have a good uptick in somewhere in your business?
You know, I think it's a good question. I think the one thing to consider relative to this industry versus the automobile, we're longer cycle than the automobile. Our assets last anywhere from 20 to 30 years. And so from a standpoint of the buy profile, it's really based on volume indications. And so there isn't necessarily a huge uptick or a huge decrease. You can have year in, year out some volatility, but it's more of a longer cycle. I think what we'll see, though, is as the volume in the emerging markets and the international trade takes place, you'll see a more of a pull for the locomotives. And there's also benefits with regards to the technology of these new locomotives versus prior locomotives that make the economics very attractive from a replacement perspective. So I think we'll see a strong volume case for locomotives. And then as you look at the mining trucks, you know, 35% of the mining trucks are over 10 years old. And as you've got new mines and new efficiencies, again, technology has made a step function change that make it rewarding to change out old equipment.
How big of a piece of your business is the software you displayed up there, the one that I think it's UNP has recently installed?
The NS, Norfolk Southern.
I'm sorry, NS.
It's okay. It's one of the key product lines that we provide within our solutions platform. If you look at probably the market size, it's about a $2 billion market size, and we represent one contract right now, so we've got about an annuity stream of a service contract.
So it's installed at one rail?
It's installed at Norfolk Southern, yes.
And who do the other rails use for that software?
You know, some people use homegrown systems. Some people don't have a system. Some people are piloting this system. So it's really a step function change from what used to be manual. So manually beforehand, you would have a number of people talking to each other over radios saying, let's do a meet point here, let's do a meet point there, and doing a big planning sheet. This is now a software that, with the algorithm, allows you to optimize that work.
So in other words, to grow this, you don't have to dislodge another major software supplier.
You just have to get adoption, and adoption takes about 18 months.
Thanks.
So. Thanks. You operate pretty much in a duopoly here in the United States for new locomotive sales. Can you describe what are the decision factors clients use in addition to fuel economy and purchase price, and maybe give us an idea of what current market share would be on new sales, please?
Yeah, and I think you mentioned correctly, we're sort of in a duopoly here. There are other players as well, but they're two major players, ourselves and Electromotive Diesel, that is part of Caterpillar. When you look at purchasing decisions, you know, life cycle cost is a big aspect, which is driven by also reliability and availability of the locomotive itself. Part stream on the locomotive becomes a factor. The fuel efficiency becomes a factor. And compositely, they really do look at a total encompassing life cycle cost. So those are the factors. We've invested heavily on fuel efficiency. We believe we've got an advantage on fuel efficiency, and that helps us to maintain a premium in the market share. And also of new orders, we maintain a premium in the market share.
And market share in the U.S. in recent years?
We really don't give out the market share numbers.
Can you expand a little bit on the mining super sub you're talking about? How long that could possibly last? What's driving that growth? And potentially what kind of product mix could flow out of that from your products,
yep,
and ultimately profitability from that standpoint?
Well, I think, I mean, again, when you look at the indicators, the mining super cycle, as you look at the ongoing growth taking place in China, taking place in India, even if it slows down from an 8 to a 5%, there's still a huge commodity need. And also the difficulty in extracting some of these commodities, the visibility of these commodities. And so what we have is an opportunity to really help in the new technologies required to get the trucks in places they haven't been before, to make them more durable. And we think, you know, that mining super cycle, everything that we can see, should last about 5 to 10 years. And it's been in place, it's been ramping up. And when you look at historical data, if it's to be believed, you know, it happens every 30 to 40 years that there's a huge need of infrastructure growth and also infrastructure replacement. And that's what we see taking place.
And is that going to drive more locomotive sales or more mining vehicle sales, or how's that going to flow through your own portfolio?
It's actually going to drive both. And the reason why it drives both is there's the concept of, you know, extraction in the mine, which utilizes trucks, utilizes other components and material that we can provide. And then there's the mine to port. And the most effective way to take commodities mine to port is by rail. Okay. All right. Thank you very much.